Well, welcome to Unity Center of Light, another service from our home to your home, and we look forward to worshiping with you today. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And we have an exciting service for you today, and so we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Good morning. Welcome to Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm Unity Centers of Light mission and foundation statements. Let's affirm the mission statement. The mission of the Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm the foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have our daily word reading for Sunday, August the 23rd. The key phrase is inner peace, and the affirmation is the peace of God fills my mind and heart. Quiet moments in a fragrant garden, a stroll by a lake or stream, or a visit to any place of beauty inspires a deep awareness of peace. I also enjoy peace in the company of friends, those with whom I have easy camaraderie and deep bonds. Growing in spiritual awareness, I claim inner peace wherever I am. True inner peace comes from deep within me. If I am feeling less than peaceful, I pause and breathe out worry, fear, and unhealthy concern. Giving my full attention to the divine presence within me, I breathe in a peace that soothes my emotions, calms my thoughts, and relaxes my body. As I continue to inhale peace and exhale concern, I move forward with renewed clarity and confidence. And the scripture reading is Isaiah 26:3. Those of steadfast mind you keep in peace because they trust in you. Amen.
Thank you, hon. So we are continuing with this series, prayer. Let's get to it, all right? And again, I want to start off by emphasizing that our spiritual quest is to awaken from the Adam dream. You've heard me say that many times. This is the dream that has us believing that we are separate from God. And because we feel separate from God, we also feel separate from each other. Right? And this dream of separation has us struggling with the what I'm calling efficacy of prayer. That comes from C.S. Lewis. He has this whole book and whole talk on the efficacy of prayer. Now, efficacy meaning the ability to produce a desired result. And that's what we want when we pray, all right? We want something to happen in a certain way. And that's typically most of the reason why we do pray. But whether or not our prayers seem to be answered, we still need to engage in prayer as a regular part of our lives. Prayer is the lifeblood that transfuses us with the divine energy that keeps us whole, well, and perpetually healing. So even if you don't experience that efficacy of prayer, that, you know, the fact that you're getting a result from praying, you can't stop doing it. It's a really important part of your life, and we're going to get into why that's so important during this talk. But you still might ask, what is the purpose of spending all this time in prayer if it often doesn't seem to work? Now, many of you might have seen in April's e-newsletter that a story that about this man who was asked, what do you gain by regularly praying to God? And the man replied, nothing, okay? But he said, let me tell you what I lost. I lost anger and greed and insecurity and fear. So sometimes the answer to our prayers is not about what we can gain, but what we can loose and let go of, which ultimately is what we gain, all right? So I know that is, you know, that in this modern life of new thought, folks seem to be trying to get away from the concepts of prayer that include God and Father and Lord and Jesus and the Bible, etc. I've heard that almost all the time that I've been in New Thought. You know, we end up going to the more popular writers of today as opposed to trying to really understand what these concepts of God, Lord, Father, Jesus, the Bible, and so forth really mean in our lives. But if we're trying to understand the benefits of prayer in our lives, we want to follow the prayer pattern of the masters. And in my studies, I have found that some of the greatest spiritual masters on this planet, past and present, Christian and non-Christian, behold Jesus as the grand master of grand masters. All right? So from my perspective, if you're going to embark upon a life of prayer, then study the master of masters. Yeah? And yes, I agree, this is the most challenging and difficult path to take, because those who are extremely infused in prayer have achieved that divine connection through incredible amount of dedication and commitment to the prayer process, right? Which means these folks spend a lot of time working with the idea of prayer. And there's no question that Jesus was a man of prayer, praying prayers that we know, you know, were answered. So he prayed for divine guidance, for strength, for courage, and the inner power to believe in and serve something greater than himself, okay? So we read in Luke 5:16 that Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place to pray. In Mark 1:35, we read, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he could pray." And in Mark 6:12, sometimes Jesus spent the entire night in prayer, all right? And it takes this level of commitment and dedication to prayer to effect the deeper changes in ourselves needed to awaken to who we truly are. And again, I know when you hear that, you say to yourself, well, I don't have time, you know, to pray that, put that much time into prayer, okay? But I've also heard, I told you I was listening to this Catholic bishop, and I think he was also talking about praying in all those moments that you can take advantage of, you know, during your walk, while working in the garden, you know, while washing the dishes. He said he's in Los Angeles and he gets caught in traffic. And he said, so he'll do his prayers while he's in traffic. He said, you don't have to close your eyes. You're just in this consciousness of prayer. So it's like every moment that you have, you spend that moment in this idea called prayer, right? And awakening, you know, you talk about this idea of awakening. Awakening is a shift in consciousness in which thinking and awareness separate, all right? Now, I know we talked about that last week, and you might be struggling with that idea of thinking and awareness separate. But how many of you have had the experience of, you're kind of in this moment where you're not paying attention to what's going on in your mind. All of a sudden, you get this awareness that what's going on, of what's going on in your mind. Have you ever had that experience? This is where I would love to have people in front of me acknowledging whether they've experienced that or not. But think about it. You know, you're doing something, you're not paying attention to what you're thinking about, but all of a sudden you have this awareness. The thinking is still going on, but you have this awareness of what you're thinking about. And then you begin to ask yourself, why am I thinking that? Okay, so that's the idea of awareness, observing your thinking, all right? And so it's where our Christ self begins to awaken and then realize the illusions continuously perpetuated by the ego. It's where we become unraveled from the constant, remember I said last week, monkey chatter that goes on in our mind. So you begin to watch that dynamic that's happening within you. Now, Eckhart Tolle emphasizes that awakening, however, is not something that we can do on our own, okay? Have you ever been in a dream where you wanted to wake up and you couldn't wake yourself up, all right? And you wanted really badly to come out of this dream, but you couldn't, and all of a sudden the alarm goes off or somebody shakes you or something happens and brings you out of the dream. And that's sort of like the same idea. We cannot awaken ourselves, meaning the ego cannot awaken itself. You know, my favorite saying, the ego can't jump out of the ego. So Eckhart Tolle says, awakening is an act of grace. Awakening is an act of grace. And a revealing word explains that grace is aid from God in the process of regeneration. And regeneration is a change that occurs within us when our dedication to our prayer work causes us to become filled with an abundance of spiritual life. Okay, so it's a process you go through, but you understand this idea that this awakening process comes from the grace of God. Okay, now I want to share a slide with you from Eckhart Tolle, and he says, whatever you do to try to wake yourself up will be your ego trying to add awakening or a light enlightenment to itself as its most prized possession, thereby making itself important. Instead of truly being spiritually awake, you add the concept of being awake to your mind or the mental image of what an awakened or enlightened person is like. And then you parade around in your self-proclaimed enlightened state, right? So it's this concept, you know, and that's what the ego does. It plays these games, you know. It works out and works out and works out, and then it all of a sudden starts to say, well, I must be enlightened. However, even though we cannot awaken ourselves spiritually, we can begin by being willing to be awakened. That's the key, being willing to be awakened. And we demonstrate our willingness to awaken through our commitment and dedication to our prayer time. Okay, so the fact that you're spending time in prayer, even though it feels like nothing is happening in that prayer time, or you're not getting the answers that you're looking for, still the fact that you are spending that time is letting the universe know that you are at least willing to awaken. And so when you take the time to be still, especially when you are in the midst of life's challenging situations and circumstances, you're letting spirit know that you're willing to be awakened. So when you consciously pull yourself back, when you find your thoughts going down a road you know is detrimental to your mental, emotional, spiritual health, that is an indication you're willing to be awakened because you caught yourself in the process. You know, sometimes we just let ourselves mindfully go on, and whatever fearful dynamics are going on within us, we just let it go on. This drama just plays out. But in this process, what we're saying is that's where the awareness comes in and says, there I go. I'm letting that process happen within me. And you pull yourself back from that. Okay? The pulling back lets spirit know that you're willing to be awakened. So awakening begins with enlightenment. Okay? Now, one author defines enlightenment as being more than an evolutionary process. It's actually a disruption in the level of consciousness you're presently in. And it causes a quantum leap into a higher level of consciousness, right? So this idea of enlightenment doesn't always mean that you've tapped into the depths of God. It just helps you to understand that what you have been doing or what you have been thinking and how you have been being, there's a better way. And that's the enlightenment. You say, I no longer want to be like this. But it's not just I no longer want to be like this. It's like an epiphany. And that epiphany just brings you to, it stops you from evolving in the level that you are, and it moves you to a higher level, right? You experience this quantum leap into a higher level of consciousness. So quantum leap in this context being a sudden dramatic advance in spiritual awareness, okay? So when you experience enlightenment, which, you know, eventually occurs from your dedication to your prayer work, you actually stop evolving at the present level of consciousness, and you're elevated to a higher level of being, okay? Now, what used to be important and sacred to you or fearful and worrisome to you is no longer sacred or fearful because you are no longer at that level of consciousness, okay? So that's how the process of enlightenment sort of works. That's how you can try to tell if you're moving into the next levels of enlightenment. When the stuff that you used to be fearful of, that you used to worry about, that used to upset you, and so forth, when those things begin to go away and no longer do that, then you know you're no longer at that level where you can be troubled by it. Okay, you're now at a much higher level. So I know you've heard the acronym for ego, EGO, which is easing God out. I know you've heard that. Meaning when we act without love and wisdom in our heart, mind, and spirit, we're easing God out. We're easing God out when we, you know, want to inflict our own thinking and feelings and behavior on the people and situations in our lives. Now, let me say that again, okay? So when you feel that you have to inflict your own feelings, your own thinking, your own, you know, inner dynamics onto other people or the situation in your life, you're easing God out, okay? Now, Quran, I don't know if many people remember Quran. I think Pam, somebody spoke to Quran this past. He spoke to her? Mm-hmm. Yeah, this past week, and I think, so anyway, Quran used to say, this idea, she's called sin, living in sin, but she, sin for her stood for self-inflicted nonsense, okay? So when you're living in sin, you're living, it's a process where you're doing self-inflicted nonsense. And the sin or self-inflicted nonsense occurs when we allow our ego to freely judge the people and circumstances in our lives as being the reason that we're going through the troubling feelings that we have, okay? And even though this may be true and justifiable, you know, you can say, well, I can prove why I feel this way because of what, you know, is happening or has happened. Even though it's justifiable, doing so is choosing to live without the guidance, the protection, the comfort, and love of Spirit. And without a conscious awareness of the power and presence of Spirit in our lives, we are susceptible to all kinds of nonsense showing up in our lives. And, you know, that's not what we want. So as we expressed in last week's lesson, we will continue to toil and spin if we continue to inflict this the ego's nonsense onto what is happening in our lives. So in line with this thought, in the Lord's Prayer, there's a verse in Matthew 6:13 that reads, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." In unity, we believe that God would not lead us into temptation, so we interpret the words, "lead us not into temptation," to be, "do not leave us in temptation," okay? However, it's interesting to note that in the version of the Bible called the Message, the Bible in contemporary language, it translates the line, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It says, to keep us safe from ourselves, we put you, God, in charge. I like that, okay? To keep us safe from ourselves, to keep us from inflicting, you know, nonsense on ourselves, we put you in charge of our lives. So if you add in the meaning of the acronym SIN, self-inflicted nonsense, it would read, to keep us from inflicting nonsense on ourselves and on each other, Lord God, we put you in charge. Okay? So what is the root cause of this sin, this self-inflicted nonsense? Well, as always, it stems from the belief that we are separate from our divine source, okay? And this sense of being separate shows up in our minds as fear, anger, hatred, self-induced pride, jealousy, and all other forms of what we're calling nonsense, okay? So that can be a word that you can use now when you find yourself doing that. You can say, oh, here I go again, inflicting some more nonsense, okay? So in an advanced understanding of our spiritual potential, even the most justifiable fear and suffering is an indication that we have somehow unplugged from God, right? And plugged instead into the delusions of the ego, which gets its cues from forms and objects outside of itself, okay? Now, again, this is a tough one because when we're struggling with something, that's all we know is we're struggling with something. What it says here, we're struggling because we get the cues from our struggle from forms and objects outside of ourselves, okay? So the challenge is how do I deal with that? You know, how do I get myself into a mindset where I can, when I can not allow myself to be so affected by what is happening outside me, whether it's what people are doing or whatever, all right? And we'll go, our response is, we say as we prepare to defend the nonsense that we think, speak, and believe, okay? Now, I know I'm calling it nonsense, but at the same time, you know, we find ourselves doing this just automatically. And I find myself doing it automatically. It's just a matter of, of how we've been indoctrinated. It's the way our consciousness is. So now we're going through this process where we're trying to use prayer to shift us to another space in consciousness. However, you know, every but that we come up with, every excuse we present, is a manifestation of the ego doing what it does so well, which is defending itself and its actions. Okay, and that is the key that we want to try to understand. So as we talked about last week, there's an endless stream of chatter constantly going on in our minds. And even though there's a lot of creative thought going on in our minds as well, much of this chatter is the ego positioning itself, defending itself, projecting itself, disguising itself, okay? So the goal for each one of us on our individual spiritual journey is to discover that what we call me or myself is not the source of the spiritual life, a light that I need or we need in order to guide us in the right way, you know, to live our lives, okay? The main and only purpose for the self that we call myself is to be a channel for the light of God to pass through, untainted by our nonsense, okay? So that's the purpose of prayer, is how do I get myself to this place where I let that light just flow through and not taint it with my own thinking, my own nonsense? So our spiritual work is to learn how to allow the light of divine love and spiritual understanding to flow through us without us inflicting our nonsense onto it. For example, praying for guidance or help or healing, and then harboring feelings that what you ask for in prayer may not be possible, is your ego inflicting nonsense on yourself. Because as we know, with God, all things are possible. So the idea is to get into the flow with your own internal spiritual dynamics. Lewis was telling a story of he was supposed to go do a talk in London. And I don't know where he was traveling from, but he says, before I go, I'm going to go get a haircut. But then he got a message saying the talk has been postponed. So he said, well, since I don't have to go to London, I'm not going to get a haircut. But he said this clear voice in his head said, still go get your haircut. And he said it was persistent. So he said, okay, you know, he was used to listening to the voice, that guidance from within, and he went to get a haircut. And when he walked into the barbershop, the barber said to him, I am so thankful that you are here today, because I need you to help me with so-and-so. So that's what happens when you really get in tune with that prayer process. In that case, it was he needed to go somewhere to help somebody else. But in a lot of cases, when you get those inner urgings like that from spirit, it's giving you an answer to get through or something that you yourself could not figure out how to get through. All right. So that the prayer process begin to open up those channels where that divine light can come through. The nonsense I talked about inflicting upon it is when you get that inspiration, that guidance, and you go, oh, that won't work. Oh, why am I getting that? That's no good. You know what I'm saying? That's the nonsense. That's how you taint the light of God that's trying to flow through you. So you want to learn how to get in tune with that process. And there's a quote for which I couldn't find the author that says, when God sees you doing your part, developing what he has given you, then he will do his part and open doors that no man can shut. Okay, so doing our part is that, you know, we get that inspiration from spirit. First of all, we do our prayer work. That prayer work begins to open us up to receive those intuitive inspirations, those intuitive guidance that comes. We do our work with that, and God begins to open up doors that nobody can shut on us. However, even though we may intellectually believe this is true, we have understandably aligned ourselves to what is occurring in the world, consciously or unconsciously, believing that this is where the real power lies, okay? So what I'm saying is that we hear these spiritual ideas, we say, oh yeah, this sounds good to me, this is what I want to work with. But then the world interrupts that thinking, okay? And we still believe that the real power exists outside of ourselves, whether we can attest to that or not. Now, Eckhart totally explains again, if the structures of the human mind remain unchanged, we will always end up recreating fundamentally the same world, the same evils, the same dysfunction, okay? Even the concept of original sin that we have heard so much about our entire Christian lives, we've always heard about this idea of original sin, it's just basically referring to the fact that we have forgotten who we really are. So original sin is all about forgetting, okay? We don't remember who we are. But this means that there was a time when we were aware of our innate divine potential, our oneness with God and with each other, okay? Again, we know that intellectually, but I don't know if we can really live that spiritually. So where, when, and why did we forget who we are? Well, Paul presents his thoughts about this in Romans 1, 19 through 25. And this is a long verse, but I'm going to put it up. And the reason why I like putting these slides up is because if you want to go back later and watch the YouTube and spend some time, you know, looking at them, it gives you the opportunity to do that. So let me bring that up. Okay. And so he says, "But what can be known about God is plain to see, because God has shown God's self to us. Ever since the creation of the world, God's invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made. So we are without excuse, for although we knew God, we did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but we became futile in our thinking and in our senseless minds. Became dark." Okay. Now, so you go to the next one. Okay. So we pretended to know it all, but we were ignorant regarding this life. We traded the glory of life of God, who holds the whole world in his hands, for cheap figurines you could buy at any roadside stand. Right. Therefore, God gave us the freedom to do whatever things our heart desired. Thus we fell into the delusion of pain, suffering, and false pride, and all this because we traded the true God for a fake God and worshiped the gods we made instead of the God who made us. Okay. Now, like I said, I put that up so that you can go back and look at that again. All right. And I love that line. You know, we traded the glory of God who holds the whole world in his hands for cheap figurines you can buy at any roadside stand. You know, that line is especially intriguing when you understand that those cheap figurines represent the images of nonsense we entertain in our minds. Instead of turning to God in prayer for spiritual guidance in everything, we choose instead to pay the price for cheap figurines, meaning the lesser versions of thought that comes from our limited ego. Okay. And yes, I agree that at this level of consciousness, you know, where we are now, there are thoughts in our minds we would not label as nonsense, all right? We all think, say, and do wonderful, loving, creative things. However, the good that we do is often spoiled by our need to claim it as our own doing. This is the ego's attempt to hold on to its perceived power, okay? And that's what we have to watch out for, is our ego's attempt to hold on to its perceived power. However, we read in John 5:31 where Jesus says, "If I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid." Okay. In Romans 1, Paul expressed, "We pretend to know it all, but are ignorant regarding life itself." So how do we put God back in charge of our lives? That's what this is always about. How do we put God back in charge of our lives? How do we stop inflicting nonsense on ourselves and on each other? Well, in the words of young Albert Einstein, he says, "We work towards a goal of putting love back in our heart." He said, that's how we put God back in our lives, is by putting love back in our hearts. And according to the Revealing Word, the heart is the love center within each one of us. It is the faculty through which we receive love directly from God. Love is in its rightful place when it's in our heart. And when love is in its rightful place, it flows freely, infinitely, unconditionally, and without boundaries. But when our ego takes possession of love, it becomes restricted, bound up, finite, and conditional. So whenever you find yourself withholding love, unable to love in certain circumstances or certain people, whenever you find yourself, you know, turning love off and on, it's a clear indication that your love is misplaced. It's been stolen, so to speak, by the ego. It's located in the nonsense of your ego, not in the purity of your heart. So our goal through prayer is to expand the capacity of our heart to embrace a level of love that includes instead of excludes, all right? Let me say that again. We're looking through prayer to expand the capacity of our heart to embrace a level of love that includes instead of excludes. Now, the difficulty here is that it is easy, you know, and justifiable, humanly justifiable, to have animosity towards those we feel have somehow wronged us. Just as it's easy and justifiable to have animosity towards those who do not agree with our personal beliefs, our racial dynamics, our religion, and other beliefs and practices. You know, people who are different from us and don't agree with us on things, it creates this sometimes animosity in us. But being humanly justifiable, even though it is justifiable from a human perspective, does not make animosity a helpmate to our spiritual awakening. Okay? Instead, it blocks the flow of love from within us and cuts us off from experiencing the grace of God. And that is what we want, is to experience the grace of God. Okay? And prayer will get us there. So I'm going to end this lesson with these words from the Science of Mind magazine that we can affirm to help each of us in our quest to expand the love in our hearts through prayer. And again, I'm going to put this up because it's an affirmation that you can come back to. All right? And it says, through my prayer practice, I train my mind. Oh. That's okay, sweetie. Through my prayer practice, I train my mind to respond to the challenging circumstances and challenging people in my life by first recognizing God's presence within me and within all whom I'm engaged. And because this is made so in my thinking, speaking, and being, my responses are always fair, gentle, loving, kind, and true. And so it is, all right? And so we're going to, there we go. All right, thank you for that. And we're going to now have meditation with Pamela.
So let's begin this guided meditation by taking in three deep cleansing breaths. Breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. Inhale peace and exhale worry and fear. Inhale oneness with God and exhale the limitations of the ego. Take a moment now to quiet your mind. Feel the living, loving presence of God moving in and through your life right now. In the stillness of this moment, breathe deeply. As you turn within, let your body relax as you find the quiet stillness that's within you. Peace be still. And know that God is working in your life right now. Centered in the moment, release all that no longer serves your highest good and allow love and comfort to soothe you. Allow God's loving presence to fill every area of your life and powerfully guide you in the ways of happiness, prosperity, strength, and freedom. Breathe and feel your faith increase, knowing there is nothing to do, nothing to get to. You are worthy and deserving of bountiful goodness right here, right now. Feel the freedom that comes when you open your life to the wonders of God within you and all around. All circumstances unfold perfectly for your highest good, and you are blessed with peace of mind. Your mind is free of doubt and fear. Breathe now and turn it all over to God. There's nothing too big or too small for God. You are loved and you are never alone. Within this moment, you are free, you are prosperous, and you are loved. Let's take some time now to come ye apart a while and enter into the secret place of the Most High. Here is where you can experience the full presence of God as a presence in your mind and in your soul. We are thankful, Holy Spirit, that you have heard our prayers this morning and you have answered them as you always do. We ask for your guidance this upcoming week. Guide our way, guide our words, guide our actions. And let us know deep within each of us that you are the most powerful presence on this planet. And now as you become aware of your surroundings, take another deep breath in and exhale. As you continue your day, know that you are filled with God's love and grace, and all is truly well. We give thanks for this truth in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you. So this is the time we take up our offering, so to speak, virtually. And I know many of you have sort of come into the idea of virtual giving, and understanding that, you know, virtual church, virtual giving, it's just the new world that we're in right now. And for time being, we don't know how long that's going to be, but that's what we're doing. So we give thanks for all the wonderful offerings that have been coming in. Wonderful offerings have been coming in. And we ask you to hold those offerings in your hand or in your mind, especially those who are in, give automatically through debit giving. You know, just hold it in your mind and give thanks and be grateful as we are thankful and grateful for you. And with that, we will say our affirmation together. Oops. Okay, together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. And Amen. So it is. Amen. And we might as well do our blessing, the walk for the path that's coming up this week. Yes, let's bless the path that we each will walk. And we're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto.
Together, I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful. All right. All right, and we will end with our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. Well, again, it's been our pleasure to bring this service to you. Hopefully, many of you are in Zoom or will be joining us in Zoom right after this. We have some great music, and we always have good conversation in our Zoom meetings. So if you have not joined us in that yet, we look forward to seeing you right after this service in the Zoom meeting. Other than that, please have a wonderful week. We love you, and we thank you so much for joining us today.
All right. See you later.
See you later.